You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, my friend? Welcome back to Finding Direction. This week, I'm sitting down with Dr. Espin, and a little bit about Dr. Espin. He is a researcher of neuroscience and quantum physics. He's a master healer, a conscious business mentor, and he's ultimately on a mission to help people reach their personal and professional potential. Now, a few of the things that we dive into on this episode specifically is we look at why you need to take a second look at some of the difficult things that you've been through in your life. We look at how you're leaving 99.9999999% of your potential on the table every single day. And also, more importantly, how you can start to tap into that potential and massively change your life. And also, how do you tap into quantum physics? How do you tap into the quantum field and use that to further your life? There is so much goodness. There is so much juice in this episode. I would encourage you, honestly, listen to it twice, listen to it three times, listen to it again and again and again, because there is so much value from Dr. Espin. We are going to dive right into this conversation. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review if you're liking the podcast. And other than that, here we go. Dr. Espin, welcome to the show, man.
I'm pumped and honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life. I know, again, as we just talked about before recording, you're on a big tour right now, impacting a lot of lives. So thank you again for being here. And as we kick this thing off, I would love it if you could give our listener just a little bit of background as far as who are you, kind of where did you come from, and just give us some of the basics of, you know, who is Dr. Espin?
Sure thing. Well, for those listening that don't know me, my name is Espin. I'm born and raised in Norway and Scandinavia. Came to Australia 2005 to kind of find my purpose, direction, as you would say, find myself and my place in this world. And I've been able to overcome lots of incredible challenges similar to yourself. And now I teach on the large stages what it means to live an extraordinary life and to be able to live with passion, with purpose, with an open heart, and live in the moment. So it's a special opportunity to be here. I want to deliver some ridiculous and amazing value to your listeners today. So everyone stay tuned and go deep.
Let's go. So fill us in a little bit as far as you went to Australia in 2006. How old were you then? And were you like, did you feel like you find your purpose before you went to Australia, or kind of where were you? Because you said it sounded like you were pretty lost before then.
It certainly was. And so when I was growing up in Norway, where the first thing that happened, that which is a part of the story, is I found my brother passed away. So I was 5 years old. I walk into my brother's bedroom and he's passed away. He's dead in his bed. 2 years later, my little sister was born disabled. So she's never walked and never had a chance to run. And as I was growing up, I was asking a lot of questions. The key question was, in relation to my brother dying, how can we live incredible, extraordinary lives? And why do we take our lives for granted? It's not until we kind of, you've been through your story with testicular cancer. Once you get that news, like, whoa, and sometimes people don't shift direction until they get that news, but we can help them, and you were helping them. And so then start asking, what does it mean to live? And then my sister's disabled. My question was, where does sickness and disease, where does suffering come from? So I wanted to find answers. So continued to educate myself further and further. I got some degrees back home, then flew here, another degree and another degree, so on. And I think my point here is really simple. It's the challenges and the obstacles that we go through in life that I believe is actually teaching us what we need to be able to find our direction and our purpose, and also to find who we are. So as I say, with life, these obstacles haven't happened to us, they've happened for us. And I think, with your story too, such a pivotal point to be able to reflect upon how things are beautifully aligned as such.
I love that. So what was your purpose in Norway before, like, do you feel like you had a purpose in Norway before? And how old again were you when you went to Australia?
I was in my early 20s.
Okay. So did you feel like you had a purpose in Norway? Because it sounds like at a young age, it sounds like you were like, okay, health, like living to the fullest. Like those were all things that were consciously aware that you wanted to go there. But I'm curious, like before you went to Australia, were you like, okay, I just need to get there? Or were you there? Or kind of where were you in Norway?
I was seeking. I was searching.
Seeking. Okay.
Yes. Having said that, I was also on purpose. I was a qualified nutritionist and personal trainer and also a school teacher. So I was teaching in schools what it means to eat well, move well, think well. And what I realized after having been in the education system for a while is that, one, the education system is broken. The way we're teaching our children, the things that we're teaching our children, you know, we should have parents like similar to yours that are involved in coaching, work on themselves and teach that to their children, right? So I left the education system, stopped working as a nutritionist and personal trainer, and came here to, like I said, continue to grow and learn. And I was on purpose, but I was, like many people today, seeing people outside of me, things outside of me, as something separate. As in, I was working on in the physical and mental realm only. And I knew there was a spiritual sense. There was an energy field. There was something else that was available to me. I didn't know what, but I wanted to find it, and I wanted to find my purpose within that field. And so, yeah, I traveled across the world, didn't know anyone, came here all by myself in 2005 and just started on the path that we're on still.
I love that. So at what point in Australia do you stumble upon quantum physics and a lot of the stuff that you're doing now? When did that inception take place?
I think it's another similar story to the one before. I believe that in the pit is where the purpose is revealed. In the trauma is where the transformation begins. We can turn fear to fuel if we understand and or believe that we are spirits, souls, source, at least some level of consciousness having a type of human experience. And so then the experiences throughout the human journey is, as I said before, happening for us in terms of our spiritual evolution, in terms of our growth and learning. And as you said, you know, at least if we can see it that way, we can't go back and change the past, but we can change the meaning. And so, you know, as it was, the great spirit would have some great challenges for me. You could imagine, you know, young man full of testosterone on a motorcycle. Not always a good combination. So I crashed a 600cc big racing motorcycle in 2006, broke both my legs, snapped them both right off, and also fractured part of my pelvis too. So like my sister, I was in a wheelchair, in and out of surgeries for a very, very long time. That became part of my awakening journey.
I have to imagine that growing up with a sister in a wheelchair and finding yourself in a wheelchair at some point, that probably had to be, because in some other things that I've heard from you is like, you had a fear of like, am I not going to live up to my full potential? Am I not going to be everything that I can be? So if you find yourself all of a sudden in this place of, man, I may be like physically impaired for the rest of my life, what was sort of your like aha that you got from that moment?
So that's the number one question, right? And I think, the accident itself was traumatic. They put 16 or 14 different pins, plates, bolt screws, all sorts of metal through my body. But it wasn't until a year later when I went back to the hospital in Melbourne, Australia, to take all the metal out that I got this hospital infection. And that was way more dangerous than that trauma or the accident, because the infection kept on spreading and spreading and getting worse and worse for well over a year, almost a year and a half, to the point where I'd lost 15 kilos. I knew in my heart intuitively that I was dying. And the surgeon said this. He said, best case scenario, we take your right leg off from the hip. We cut it off from the hip. And then we stop the infection from spreading. Worst case scenario, if the infection attacks your internal organs, well, then you may die. And it was in that moment that I found my direction. It was in that moment that I can't tell you what it was to, but it was just profound stillness that came through me. My entire body goosebumped, and I just had this knowing that I needed to do something different. And so I said, thanks, doc. And he left. I ripped the intravenous. They were pumping me full of antibiotics, even though this infection that I had doesn't even respond to antibiotics.
Interesting.
You know, just annihilates the immune system kind of thing, the standard allopathic system as such. And I left the hospital and I started researching. And one of the first things that popped up was Nikola Tesla's quote, if you want to find the secrets to the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And so I thought to myself, and it was so clear. It was, you know, sometimes when you're in it, you can't see it because you're all clouded by emotion and stuff, right? Right. And so I was like, it's so clear. What have I been doing? I've been looking to the surgeons and the hospitals and the nurses to heal me. No one can heal me. I'm the healer.
Yeah.
Right? I'm the doctor. You can dress the wound, but I heal the wound. You can put the bone in place. I heal that bone. And so I just had this, I'm goosebumping as we're sharing, talking now, because I was like, what have I been doing? Have I been giving up my power to someone else to heal me? And so I went home and I started researching and studying and applying the things that I teach. And having had this infection for almost a year and a half, from that point, it was 3 weeks until this hole that I had on the side of my hip finally closed off. I went into kind of like a psychedelic out-of-body type experience for a couple of days. And I healed, and I've got two strong legs, and I'm fitter than ever. So it was because I took my health in my own hands. I believed that it was possible. I believed that I was on this journey for a reason, and I believed that it was going to reveal to me a greater purpose. And this is the backbone of what I do now, teaching, similar to you, thousands and thousands of people, the power of self-healing, the power of self-belief, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And it's interesting hearing you talk about some of this stuff. And obviously, you're much more into the science of, obviously, you help other people do this. Because I had my experience, like you mentioned, where I had testicular cancer. And a few of the big things was, one, a very similar belief of this is happening for a reason. And two, this is happening for a greater reason. Like, there's some lesson, there's something that I'm supposed to get from this. I know this isn't my end. And those were two of the main things that got me through that journey. And I think it's, you know, for anyone who's listening to this right now, if you're going through something in your life, it's asking yourself, what is the reason that this could be happening? What's the lesson that I'm going to get from this? And what's the greater reason that this is actually happening in my life? And if you can center on that, it's going to pull you through the difficult times. And so that's one piece that I believe in. I know it to be true. And I'm curious if you could explain, in a sense of like quantum physics, what does that do to your body, to your being, your cells, like all these different aspects in the quantum aspect when you are in that sort of a mindset going through something difficult?
Excellent question. I'm very happy to do that. This is going to be awesome. So firstly, before we dive into that, I want to ask everyone listening, one of the oldest questions known to man, the primary questions in the history of philosophy, which is, who am I? Okay, so I'm going to give you two possible scenarios. Neither is right or wrong. And I'll do this with you and you can reply. And then everyone else listening, just say out loud whichever one of the two you believe. Okay? So there's scenario one and scenario two. Scenario one is for you if you believe that you are only flesh and bone. So you believe that the only thing that exists, the only thing that is real in your life are the physical things, the things that you can touch and feel. That means that your children, your loved ones, yourself, you're made up of a body. There's nothing else but the body. Materialistic science, that's it. Okay, that's scenario number one. Then we have scenario number two. Scenario number two is for you if you believe that within you there is a spirit or a soul, some sort of consciousness, some sort of energy that is more than physical. Okay, so perhaps there is some sort of intelligence there and it's expressed in physical form. Okay, that's scenario number two. So which one do you believe, number one or number two?
I'm definitely number two, for sure.
Okay, so for those listening, just say out number one or number two, right? Done this now with tens of thousands of people. It is rare in an audience of 200-300 people that someone raises their hand for scenario number one. It happens, but it's rare. 99.8% of our students believe that there's more to life than just flesh and bone. So let's look at the science behind this. Okay. If you go back to Max Planck, this goes back well over 100 years. Max Planck, P-L-A-N-C-K, won a Nobel Prize over 100 years ago for the conversation that we're having, a Nobel Prize in quantum physics, when he was able to prove and quantify, provide evidence for a field of energy known scientifically, not esoterically, but scientifically, as the quantum field or the unified field. It has many names. You may call it God, you may call it Source, you may call it Universe, you may call it the Great Spirit, you may call it whatever you wish. Okay, but let's keep it scientific and call it the unified field. They were able to discover a unified field, and even Einstein referred to this as spooky action at a distance. Niels Bohr, many of the incredible scientists, they've been backing this up. In fact, they've tried to debunk this theory for over 100 years. They can't debunk it, Stu, because it is a fundamental universal law. In fact, it's the number one law of the 12 universal laws, which is the law of oneness. There is a field of divine intelligence within all of us. It gives expression and form to you, to the uniqueness of you. So it's like your unique expression of Source. Okay. Yeah. And so this is science, not philosophy, not theory. This is science, yeah. Right? If you then, so let's establish this fact first, okay? So then the question is, as I'm going through these human experiences, as I'm going through the challenges, the obstacles, loved your quote, by the way. What did you say the other day, bro? It was, I heard it on a podcast. It was like, every negative emotion you feel is a positive emotion lost or positive emotion that you felt. And I was like, boom. And so when we go through these challenges, there are two ways. One is to point the finger. Okay, I am broke because this person fired me. I lost my job. It's his or her fault. I am this way because of him and her. You know, yeah. I could have said, my brother died. I picked him up. Pick up a, you know, a child that's passed away. It's extreme trauma. Yeah. You know, how could you say that there is benefits in this? How could you say that there's benefits to breaking my legs? But if you are able to elevate your level of awareness to the point of the spirit, of the soul, of at least the higher self, then you can ask the question, how am I actually creating these circumstances or experiencing these circumstances for a reason? And each and every time we do this in our events, not many people to thousands of people, every single time we're able to assimilate, to locate, to find the reasons behind it. And when you do realize that you are more than flesh and bone, in fact, science has proven that, and let's be specific, Stu, 99.9 and 8/9, okay, so 99.9, call it that, percent of everyone listening, of every person, of everything physical, of you and I, of our entire bodies, 99.9% of us is pure non-physical energy.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay? This is non-physical energy. This is the field of divine intelligence, the power, the wisdom, the beauty of the entire universe within us, and it's a specific energy, frequency, and vibration. Low vibration, sickness, disease, and suffering. Incoherence, sickness, disease, and suffering. High vibration, love, peace, abundance, beauty, happiness, etc. So on this vibrational scale, if we're able to assimilate what happened, as in the trauma, asking the question, how did it happen for me? And you mentioned before, you know, ask those questions. I agree. I would go deeper. I wouldn't stop until I'm writing benefits, until I am wholeheartedly filled with gratitude. And this may take years, but it could also take days. If you lean in and get a good coach and get this done properly, to you feel and know the gratitude in your heart for the experience called life, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, then you're able to liberate yourself of the suffering and you can claim that life force that was drained and you can turn that fear into fuel. So to summarize, through the universal laws, through understanding quantum mechanics or quantum physics, we know that we're made up of less than 1% physical. And that physical, the body, be it testicular cancer or an infection or depression or a metabolic issue or problems having children or skin issues, the physical expression is a direct reflection on the internal energy frequency and vibration. So, yes, I'm specialized in the physical aspects as a primary healthcare physician. Right. I've had the privilege of owning over 10 clinics and hiring medical doctors to chiropractors, to osteos, to nurses, to pathology, to radiology. Like, we've had it all. And yes, the physical aspect is critical because if you don't eat well, move well, think well, it's going to lower your vibration. But what about the stuff that's underneath the surface? Yeah. As I say, every person is the hero that they've been waiting for. And my question is, why look without when you have the opportunity to look within? That's where you find the answers.
Hmm. Wild. That was a world-class breakdown of the quantum field. And it's crazy. I heard when I was doing, you know, some research and listening to some other shows that you've been on and just, you know, looking at your website, all this different research that I like to do, that one piece you said just fascinated me, that we're 99.9999999, however many eights, percent energy. Mm-hmm. Yet so many times we look to move forward with our health, move forward with our life, move forward with our career, and use our physical body. But our physical body is 0.00000001% of what we should actually be using to move the needle forward in our life. It's such a, like, I hope for the person listening to this right now that something clicks in their head that goes, wait, I need to, like you said, take care of my body. I need to make sure that, you know, I'm not like ignoring the flesh and the body that I've been given, which again, have gratitude for that and all the intricacies your body does. It's unbelievable what our body does for us. But I hope whoever's listening to this flips their mind and goes, dang, if there's 99.99999% of potential essentially that I'm not using in my life, the question then becomes, how do we tap into as much of that 99.99999% as possible? So what,
exactly,
right? So what I'm curious to hear for you is, how does someone go from, like, you know, and for me, for in example, my own life, I studied Bob Proctor. I'm sure you're familiar with his work. I was mentored from a little bit. He talks a lot about law of vibration. You look at Think and Grow Rich, right? Some of the books that's Think and Grow Rich, not Work Your Face Off and Get Rich, right? But it's all these things of like, okay, your vibration is super, super important. I practice gratitude every single day. Like, so I believe that I do my best to live in a higher vibration, but I'm curious, how does someone, like, turn up, like, if we had a dial and someone's at zero and they can turn it up to 99.99999999, how can someone begin to turn up and tap into more of the potential, which is this quantum field that's this, like, unbelievably beautiful, like, resource that we have?
It's the ultimate resource. It's what has always been and will always be.
Yeah.
It's the number one question, isn't it, Stu? And to be honest, this was the exact journey that I went on. So I started my my company 2011. It's called the Bonfire Health Group. We scaled to 10 multidisciplinary clinics. We hired all these medical doctors and, you know, dentists and all the one-stop kind of health shop. And then I realized this, and I looked back and I thought to myself, hang on, the exact revelation that I had when I started healing myself from the infection is now also the same thing that needs to take our clinics and our work to the next level, because we were treating a lot of our patients by the physical aspect. Oh, you got a neck problem? It's a physical problem. Oh, you got a knee problem? It's a physical problem. You got a digestive problem? It's a physical problem. It's rarely that. Okay, it has a manifestation as such, and sometimes there's a direct injury to the materialistic essence, yes, but it's not normally the problem. So I had to redo everything I had learned. So I literally, you know, sold my clinics and traveled through, you know, did the old medicine journeys in the jungle, sat on top of mountains with gurus and did all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
To answer your question, what the average person can do is firstly to understand that you are a supernatural being. Okay, you're born and alive in the most incredible time in human history. I believe personally that this is part of the Great Awakening. So this is us now having access to information that had been spoken about for thousands of years, but has been lost. Hmm. Now this information is back. Now this practice is available to every person around the planet if they have access to the internet, to this kind of information.
Right.
Firstly, one, you are a supernatural being made of energy that is expressed through physical form. How do we then, instead of only practicing less, you know, if you go to your standard personal development seminar, you go to your standard GP, you go to your standard, you have the physical application. Well, then you're working, as you said, Stu, with less than 1% of your full potential. Yeah. But isn't that insane to think about? Yeah. Like, picture this, like goosebump moment, right? What happened? We know that we're only accessing 5 to 7% of our brain. Okay. Our students, through the breath work and the things that we teach, they have supernatural experiences, DMT, full on DMT experiences in under 25 minutes. And this is on a, if you have 100 people in the audience, we'll have 85 people saying, I had a supernatural DMT type experience if they have something to compare to. It's possible. It's it's within the breath. It's there. It's like a system that just needs to be dialed in and turned on. So firstly, the number one interference to an incredible life is lower frequency emotions. Hence why I really resonated with the quote that you shared in another podcast where you said any lower emotion is positive emotion lost or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Because, and as the old Dr. Wayne Dyer used to say, and I'll try to slow this down a little bit, and listeners, go back, repeat this podcast as many times, over and over and over, until you can fire and wire this in your nervous system. If this is resonating with you, press repeat, go again and again, and share, please share. Like, the world needs this stuff. Lower frequency emotions create havoc in your life. You also, unfortunately, by universal law, attract not that which you want. You don't attract what you want. If you did, you went, I'm $1 million, I'm $1 million, you got $1 million. Right? You don't have $1 million. Yeah. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are vibrationally. It was one of the most profound things that the late, great Dr. Wayne Dyer said. You don't attract what you want, you attract what you are vibrationally. So if you then recognize, and here's the accountability piece, that everything around you, every single thing, no exception, everything around you is a projection of your level of consciousness. You're creating your reality every millisecond, every moment. If you recognize that everything around you is a feedback mechanism of where you're at, then the first thing to do is to turn the attention back within, to lean into the work that you do, Stu, and similar to work that we do, and many incredible teams around the world, where you get a chance to find your wounds, to be conscious of the thoughts, patterns, indoctrination, behaviors, emotions, limiting beliefs, the traumas and fears that are still festering in the unconscious mind. And see it for what it is, and heal it. Because when you liberate yourself of those lower frequency emotions, which, by the way, can be measured very easily on the Hawkins scale of consciousness. If you haven't seen it, for those listening, press pause, research the Hawkins scale of consciousness, and go again. Because Dr. Hawkins, as an MD, PhD, was able to provide evidence for the different scale of vibration that the certain emotions are on. Neutral sits here at 250, okay? Fear is as low as 100. Love, the newest research on love, is 528 on the vibrational scale. So you have these, the scale of emotions, as I said, lower frequency, suffering and disease, high frequency, love and abundance. And so then when you are able to heal your lower emotions and bring them from fear to love, from contraction to expansion, from darkness to light, and you are able to assimilate that from a place, and you mentioned gratitude, beautiful, then everything in your life, external, as it is a reflection of what's happening on the inside, the emotions that you feel, will be feedback mechanism for you. And then now, instead of attracting at a low frequency, attracting the things you don't want, now you're attracting at a high frequency and you're attracting the things that you do want. So to summarize, work on yourself, devote yourself to healing every aspect and every part of yourself that has not been healed and brought into the light. And in essence, anything you can't say thank you, I love you for, needs more healing. And when you get to that point, there is nothing but light and bliss left in your reality. Then you'll have the most incredible life that you deserve.
I love that. I'm getting like an image in my mind almost of like a hot air balloon that's tied down by sandbags. And it's like when you go into your past and you deal with, whether it's trauma, whether it's something you went through that you felt was like you were wronged or someone did you bad. It's like with each one of these things you're going through and almost like healing or making peace with or finding gratitude in a positive from instead of a negative, it's like you're cutting off that sandbag and eventually you get rid of all those things from your past that maybe weren't serving you. All of a sudden your vibration, like this air balloon, once those sandbags are cut off, just immaculately goes so much higher. And then you can find ways like gratitude. You can find ways through all sorts of different practices to continue to elevate the quote unquote hot air balloon even higher. So I love how you said that. I'm curious, what would you say, you know, with someone listening to this and they're going, I'm doing something, I'm, you know, not sure if it's like my passion. It's not like, I don't feel the aliveness that I know I can feel, right? And, you know, one of the big things we talk about on the show is like, you deserve to live a life that you love. You deserve to wake up and be excited about your life. And like, that is possible. Someone else is living your dream life right now. You just haven't found out quite how to create it for yourself. And so I'm curious, like, how can someone, if we again go into this quantum field, because it's such a beautiful thing. Like, I'm just going to keep going back to this idea, but it's like, it's 99.999% of our potential. And the more of that we can learn to tap into, the easier we can create a beautiful life. And I think one thing that's really interesting actually as well with this is that word easy is just a really interesting word when it comes to the quantum field. And you can correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but you may think that you need to work 10 times harder at your job. You may think you need to, you know, work 50 hours more a week or whatever. And it's so much harder to do that than if you can switch a few little tiny things in the quantum field. It's like an explosion, a really, really good explosion. And so I say all that in the sense of, if someone wants to live more in their purpose, live more of a life where they wake up and they're like, man, I'm just so excited about my life and I get to do something that I love, and they get to like live that type of life that's fulfilling and happy and they're, you know, successful in their own term, how can they use the quantum field to move into that type of a life?
Some of the real simple things that I would recommend everyone starts right now, if you haven't already, is start to do breath work. Okay. The first thing that happens when you're born is that you take a breath. Okay. This is the last thing that happens before you move over across into another reality, is that you take your last breath. The breath is not just the gift of life, but it is a portal to different states of consciousness. We've proven this through functional MRI scans, through focus bands, looking at brainwave frequencies and many other things. So in essence, the breath is something that has been forgotten. The person that lives in a beautiful state, in the parasympathetic, as known through the Bhagavad Gita and the Indian lineage, the God flow system, they believe that God, the greater organized design, that spirit, that flow, that the quantum field of divine intelligence could only flow through you as a divine vessel for creation if you're living in a beautiful state. So the first thing is we've got to get you out of fight or flight. Okay. With this very likely now potential up and coming recession, this is important that we are living in a beautiful state, and that we also see this happening for us and we can be prepared. So breath is the key. When you breathe through the nose, to be clear, you are stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system, the nervous system that you wish to be in. When you're in fight or flight, in survival, you're breathing through the mouth, because there's no point breathing through the nose when you metaphorically need to get away from danger. So one of the first things that you could do right now is to learn to breathe deep. Big breath in through the nose. So we breathe in through the nose. We breathe all the way deep into the belly. We relax the body. We breathe out of the nose again. And if you do that 5-6 times a day, maybe 20 breaths at a time, you'll be able to recalibrate your nervous system and bring yourself into a beautiful state. Having said that, there are other types of breath work as well that will literally just blast the cobwebs out of the system. So I would say the first place to start, and we do this with all of our students, is really coming home to the breath.
Love it. I think it's interesting, as you go through your life, there's two lenses to look at this, and it sounds like the breath does the resetting of this in the good way, but it's, we either live in scarcity or we live in abundance.
That's it.
Right? And if we're living in scarcity, from what I'm hearing, is our breath can be the vessel which turns us to abundance, right? If we're living in, I'm not happy with my life and I don't really like where I'm at, and or I like it, but it's not quite where I want it to be, we can step into that field of abundance and the quantum field by using the breath as a practice.
Yeah. Absolutely, brother. And it's not a luxury. It's a necessity. And it's a very powerful. It's like, if you know, when you make a tiny investment, you get a huge return. That's what the breath is. And then you have many other things as well. So just to be clear, this is not a trial this once and stop. No, this is a practice for life. Yeah. You're welcome. Okay. And then the next step is okay, what do we do now? So now you've got to start looking at not just what's inside of you, because we talked about what's inside of you, the feelings. And I always say this, the quality of your life is the quality of your most commonly felt emotions. Because you want to improve your quality of life, improve your emotions. Duh.
Yeah,
because if you feel negative emotions, you don't feel good about life. If you feel great, you feel great, right? So it's about the emotions, particularly if you are a grinder, a striver, a driver, achiever, level five on spiral dynamics. If you're a, you know, I'm going to grind, I'm going to push. And I was, man, 15 years, strong in the mind, strong in the body, weak in my emotions, right? So I was polarized into the masculine. Okay, so you have the masculine, feminine, right brain, left brain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're too much in the masculine, you're grinding, you're hustling, you're living in fight or flight or stress, yeah, you can push really hard and get there. But as you shift from that into living in a beautiful state, you can manifest things in a week that would have taken you 10 years because you're in alignment with what you're hoping to achieve. So it's a critical nature to understand that, again, we don't manifest what we want. You can grind, hustle, push, and there will be times when shit happens. You need to get in there. You need to steer the ship. You need to grind. You need to have thick skin. Let's get the job done.
Yeah.
But then the majority of the time, they say 90% of the time, neuroscience now says 90% of the time, the brain should be in a beautiful state instead of 90% of the time in stress and 10% in a beautiful state. That's important. We need to turn that around by, one, looking at the people around us, looking at the circumstances around us, and as I said before, also working on what happens within us.
Got it. So one interesting thing you said there quickly that I think maybe we look at a little bit more, as you said, you take something that could take 10 years, and boom, you do it in a week. So talk to us a little bit more about how can you take some of those things that, you know, you do think is going to take 5 or 10 years and use some of this power of manifesting of the quantum field to accelerate it?
Oh, dude, for those listening to this, if you get what I'm about to say, and by the way, it's not my wisdom. I've been able to see it through certain practices and you know, 2 decades of clinical study now.
Yeah.
But this is universal law. I take no credit, take no blame. It is just focusing on the chief aim, right? Just get this right. There's 12 universal laws. If you don't know them, research them. They're like gravity. Even if you don't know, you jump off the roof, you're going down, you're not going up. Okay? They're real. So you mentioned the law of vibration and many other things before.
Right.
I call this one, this is a term that I've crowned some years ago. I call it a spiral of synchronicities. Okay. So I want you to imagine now you're in a beautiful state. Something good is happening in your life. You think about a person, right? And then the next day, suddenly the person calls you or you bump into them on the street. You haven't seen them for 5, 10 years. You ever experienced that before?
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And then you go, whoa, I was just thinking about you yesterday, right?
yeah.
And then a part of you go, whoa, that's so random. And a part of you goes, I wonder if there was something there.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's a synchronicity. Okay? The lower the frequency, the more suffering, procrastination, hesitation, frustration, desperation, and depression, the lower the frequency, the harder you have to work and grind to get from A to B. Starting a business to 6 figures, starting a business to 7 figures, 6 figures to 7 figures, doesn't matter, 8 figures, doesn't matter. And it's a personal thing as well, not just in business, right? The more you are in the rut, the longer it takes for the manifestation to occur because you're trying to manifest something that is of a higher vibration with a low vibration.
Yeah.
Makes sense. There's a coherence. Yeah. You don't get, if the masculine and the feminine, if the electric and the magnetic is not in coherence, we are electromagnetic beings. Okay. The earth is electromagnetic being, has a north pole and a south pole.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
This is just, you know, metaphysics, if you will.
Yeah.
Even physics for that matter. And when you look at this and you understand that when you're vibrating in low frequency, you have to grind for a very long time to get the manifestation, then the question is, what's the key to manifestation? Raise your vibration.
Hmm.
We've talked about how to do it. We can go back and listen to this over and over again.
Yeah.
Work on yourself, heal your emotions, you know, upgrade your relationships, you know, see gratitude and everything. We've talked about lots of this. So here's the key. when you then, because you remember this too, we talked about this, you manifest at the level that you're vibrating, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're vibrating in fear and scarcity. Well, guess what? You get fear and scarcity in your finance, in your relationships, in your mindset, in your tick, 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 all of the above. But when you're able to raise the vibration by doing the things we've talked about, the things that we teach in the courses, the things that you teach as well, I've listened to your podcast, it's ticking the boxes, man. Like people need to, I'm glad people are leaning into this. When the vibration comes up and you manifest at that level, what happens, because the frequency is so much higher, you manifest not only at that level, but you manifest so much faster. Because we know now through metaphysics, quantum physics, for well over 100 years at least, that in essence, time isn't real. Okay? It's real for you as a physical being having a human experience. You'll live about 80 years. You know, I'm going to at least do 150. There's only 168 hours in the week. I get it. But in the essence of the supernatural, of the mystical, of who you are and have always been, in the essence of the soul doesn't look at the clock, okay? It doesn't have just this lifetime and then it's gone. The soul is eternal. So in the essence of who you really are, the 99 plus percent of who you are as a being of untapped quantum potential, that's beyond space and time. So when, here's the key, you are able to raise vibration, and create coherence and connection between the lower self and the higher self. Okay, so let's simplify it. The lower self is the body, the mind, and the emotion.
Okay.
Physical human experience. The higher self, spirit, soul, source, whatever you call it, right? When you're living a life of inspiration, which is the word in spirit means to live, inspiration means to live in spirit, right? So when you're connected to yourself by doing what you love, loving what you're doing, living in alignment with your values, being integral, impeccable with your truth, speaking your truth, and so on and so forth, you are able to manifest that fast. And in the beginning, and this is, I mean, some of the ancient masters, the ascended masters, could materialize things at will. Okay, you may say, oh no, that's airy fairy. I can't prove it to you, but what I can prove to you is this. In the beginning, our students come into the event and they're like, they go through 3 days, right? We heal fear, guilt, shame, grief, sadness, anger, lies, disconnection, and illusion. Or we collapse all of those lower frequencies in 3 days, right? And then a big breath work at the end. And so once we've pulled out these splinters, the energy can flow. Because it's like water. If it stagnates, it becomes an issue in the tissue. The energy can flow when there's not interference, right? When we get up, in the beginning, our students say this, whoa, like, you know, you won't believe what happened. I thought about this person I bumped into in the next day.
Yeah.
Right? And here's a fun practice that I'll invite every listener to join in if you want. Then we say, in our community, we say, whoop, there it is. Because we're training our mind, we're conditioning our nervous system, because what we focus on is what we get, right? So we're conditioning our nervous system to focus on the positive synchronicities that we would like. Now, because you're vibrating at that level instead of that level, at a higher level instead of a lower level, you're now at, your awareness is expanded, you're in a beautiful state, your nervous system is assimilated to what you're trying to achieve, you're not living in scarcity, you're not manifesting from scarcity, you're manifesting presence. Okay. When you're in presence and you see a synchronicity, as I said, when you're living a life in spirit, inspired, lower self, higher self, it's kind of like heaven on earth. You connect the three higher centers with the three lower centers and you integrate that anchored in the heart space. When you're living in the heart space, it's beyond space and time.
Yeah.
So now you're manifesting like that. And because you're vibrating high again, you're manifesting the things that you want. So in the beginning, it's, whoa, you won't believe it. And then there's another one, there's another one. And the time, and also, Stu, the energy from the point you set out to do something to the fact that it's been achieved, the time and the energy and also the money gets shorter and shorter and shorter because of where you're at. So to answer the question, that is a long-winded version, but it's a scientific explanation as to how you can be a master of positive synchronicities by raising your vibration, getting in the right environment, and then you see it and you see, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is.
I like
and you
that.
Manifest by design.
I love it. That's beautiful, beautiful, man. So One other question I have for you, and then I just have last two quick wrap-up questions, is what do you think is one of the biggest things people get stuck on in, you know, manifesting in the quantum field that keeps them being stuck? Like, what are some of the things someone listening to this right now can go, okay, I need to look out for, you know, these one, two, three things that are, you know, some of the big things that keep people stuck. Like, what are some of those things?
First thing is to stop, and I mean absolutely stop feeding your mind. Completely stop feeding your mind with anything of a lower vibration. Do not watch a scarcity bullshit on TV. Do not watch and listen to shit that will lower your vibration. I say, be impeccable with what you feed your mind. We know this in the study of children now. We see this with children. They literally, the unconscious mind doesn't know the difference between watching a movie where someone gets killed and actually someone getting killed. It's the same biophysiological endocrine, like hormone type response in the body. It's just the conscious mind knows the difference, but the unconscious mind doesn't. But that's 95% of what you create, right? The unconscious. So just cut out any stimulus, any fear-based sensationalism is gone. Any relationships that's based on moaning or complaining, or it's gone. Okay, it doesn't mean that you don't have those relationships. It means that you do not engage in those conversations. Yeah. Any unhealthy nutrition that's destructive in nature, it's gone. You need to exercise. You need to breathe. You need to get amongst the right people. And these are all the fundamentals. But when you start to gain a little bit of momentum and you know how it is to be healthy, when you feel healthy, you know what it feels like to not be healthy because you've been there mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, chemically. So you just don't go back. So it's just about taking those actions, you know, the actions every day that will make sure that everything is around you that comes into your field of awareness is exactly what it needs to be and of a high frequency for you to make the rest of your life the best of your life. So you cut out any stimulus that will reduce your frequency.
Let's go. All right. Easy said, maybe a little harder to do it practically with some things, but I think for anyone listening to this, go listen to that little piece 3-4 times and check the list, right? Do I have negative associations? Do I have negative things I'm putting in my mind? Am I watching negative things on TV? And beautifully said, right? You just cut out those 5-6 things that you mentioned, everything in your life will start to change.
It has to. Beautiful. And this is the thing, it might sound a little bit harsh, but honestly, your life is worth it. You know, if that means that, I had a story like my father is a big drinker, right? So he always used to call me when he was drunk. And I said, I love you with all of my heart, Dad, but I won't have a conversation with you when you're drunk. And so he would call when he's drunk. I'd say, I'm not having this conversation. I'd hang up and I'd call him back when he was sober. And it was just like, that's my boundary.
Yeah.
That's my boundary, bro. Like that's, you don't cross that line, man. You know, and so, and it's real simple. It's like some of us have just given up all of our power to influences around us and we shroud and shrink our own magnificence. We need to come back into our sovereignty. Take a moment now to sit like this Sunday, whatever day, block out the day for you, journal. What do you want in life? What do you want to experience? Where do you need to draw some boundaries? And how do you protect your field of awareness so that it is the field of that high frequency, love and coherence that you need to be able to live that magnificent experience. It's all up to you. No one's coming to change your life. You're the hero that you've been waiting for. Get the job done.
Let's go. Let's go, Dr. Esmer. You get me fired up. So I'm curious, you know, obviously you do magnificent work in the world. And so if people want to like hang out with you, see what you're up to, follow you, stay connected with you, where's the best place for people to hang out with you?
The website's the place to start. We're running lots of events locally in Australia and we're about to launch into America and Canada. And the big one is the virtual one. Yeah. So I would say the virtual quantum experience for those of you all over the world is worth going to. So it's www.drespen, that's drespen.com. And if you go to the quantum experience, you'll see a landing page. It'll talk about what we do, you know, the one day. I think it's something like $17 and we we donate all of it to charity. We give people a full day experience of what we're talking about, and then a big breathwork experience at the end as well, even if they're, you know, dialing in virtually via Zoom. And from then on, it's the 3 days where you're actually not just hearing about the work, but you're actually doing it. And so, yeah, go to the website, check us out on Facebook, Instagram also. Reach out if you have any questions.
Heck yeah. Well, I love it. You brought so much value to this conversation. It's been so cool to just dive into everything that you're a master of. So thank you again for sharing. I'm curious, one last question I have for you. We ask all our guests this because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action, is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do right now in the next, let's call it 24, 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I would sit down in a space that is uninterrupted, preferably somewhere where there's no or little noise. I would grab a pen and I would journal specifically the things that I'm inspired about in life. So obviously you would have spoken to this before. If people aren't clear on their value systems, that's a huge critical part of finding direction, because your values is your purpose. But to start and make it real simple, just remember and journal the things that you used to love to do when you were younger. Sometimes it's painting, and other times it's surfing, and other times it's working with numbers. For me, it was teaching. You know, when I was teaching in my classroom, I couldn't read. I struggled with reading. But as soon as I was teaching something, everyone would listen. And the teachers would come out of their classrooms and sit and listen to what I was teaching. And I didn't realize this until I was an adult, that I'm a teacher. I'm a spiritual teacher, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So there is something that's unique to you as a listener. There is something within you that is so unique that even the best person in the world could only be a bad replica. And that uniqueness is your gift to the world. A flower, when she grows, she doesn't look at the other flower and go, oh, she's so beautiful, I should shrink. They both bloom.
Yeah.
And that's the essence of your nature. And to bloom, you simply need to find out what it is that you love to do. And don't worry about monetizing your mission for now. Just find out what that is. Journal for as long as you need to until you like get it. I was like, I love to do three things. If I can do these three things, then I'll be happy. That's the first step.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing. There you go. Well, Dr. Espen, thank you again so much for your time today. I know, obviously, you're all the way in Australia, so it's been a pleasure to hang out with you across the world and for all of our listeners to, you know, dive into the quantum field. And I know there's so many things everybody's going to take from this. I'm going to go back, listen to it myself 2 or 3 times. So thank you again for your time and massively appreciate having you on the show.
Privilege and a pleasure. Thank you for what you're doing for the world. And thank you to everyone listening, because we're all here for a reason. Thank you so much. God bless.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. I want you to make sure you give yourself a round of applause. Give yourself a pat on the back, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And that is absolutely something to celebrate. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with myself and Dr. Espen. Again, I would encourage you, go listen to it twice, listen to it 5 times, listen to it over and over and over until you really begin to grasp the concepts Dr. Espen shared and begin living those things. Also, make sure you send it to a friend, send it to someone you know who this could help elevate their life to the next level. And I promise you, they're going to send you a little message back saying thank you for sending me that episode, and it's going to help them further their life. So I want to say thank you for being here one more time. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. I hope you have a beautiful, spectacular, unfreaking believable rest of your day. And if you want to continue to hang out, I have another episode coming up right after this. I'm going to be talking about that last little bit that Dr. Espen answered, that last question he answered, and really expanding upon it. So if you want to hang out with just you and me and have a conversation, continue to stick around, and I will see you on the podcast.